Well, good morning. I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. As Dom alluded to earlier, there is an orange half sheet if you'd like to follow along as we go through God's Word today. And we are beginning this morning a new series, which is entitled The Devoted Life. And over the past year, we've been taking time in the book of Romans. And so as we look at this series, The Devoted Life, we're going to be finishing the book of Romans. So we're going to be looking at chapters 12 all the way through chapter 16. And throughout this series, really what we want to do is we want to see how God can teach us practical ways to live a life that is pleasing to Him, to live for Him as a follower of Jesus in this world. And then within our series, what we're going to do is we're going to take 3 weeks and have a mini-series within our series, which is called Experiencing Christ Together. And we're going to do that in September on the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st, where we're going to be taking a biblical look at church membership together. So we're having two series within one series, but the bulk of our series is going to be The Devoted Life. And so if you're following along with your outline, what we want to say about this whole series as we begin is this. Is that we are devoted to Christ because Christ is devoted to us. We are devoted to Christ because Christ is devoted to us. Jesus was the one who gave Himself away. He was the one who loved us first. He paid a tremendous price for our sin. And so He had a devotion. He has a love for us. And so in the Bible, it tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore. And that word for us is a connector word, because everything that we have heard up to this point between chapters 1 and 11 has all been theology, what we think about God. And so as Paul wrote to the church in Rome, to the Christians, excuse me, in Rome, he was saying, listen, this is what I want for you to know about God. And then he starts in chapter 12 by saying, therefore, as a result of everything that you have heard up to this point, now I want you to know this. And he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Or another translation would say, this is your spiritual act of worship. And I want to challenge us throughout this series to memorize this verse, not to memorize it for the series' sake, but because it is such a powerful word of truth for us to remember each and every day, that we can offer ourselves to God. This is what pleases God when we devote ourselves to Him. And I know in my own life, there are things that I am committed to. There are things that I'm devoted to. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to say today that everything that you're committed or you're devoted to is wrong. No, what we're saying is we want us to be challenged by God, to allow His Spirit to speak to us and say, am I enough for you? That's really the question in this series of Devoted Life. Is God enough for you? Is God enough for me? Is God enough for us? And that when we begin to do that, what the good news of Jesus Christ tells us is that when we realize that He was devoted to us, then we can align our lives to Him and for Him. And so I want to ask a question this morning is, have you ever given anything away? Okay, maybe it's clothes or maybe it's furniture or things like that. And I've been in youth ministry 18 years now, and one of the things that we were always given a lot in our youth area was couches. Now, fortunately, we received couches here, and they are amazing. Right, students? Yes, yes, thank you. And so here's the thing. There are many times where people would call and say, hey, we have some couches for you. We're like, bring them on over. And then we put them in the room, and then about a day or a week or so later, we're going, what is that smell? Or like there'd be, you know, it was like, we don't want this couch anymore, so we know the youth will love it, you know, torn up and just ratty. But that's but that's what I'm saying. And so we give things away. Our friends from out of town gave us a call a few weeks ago and said, hey, we'd love to go to the Phillies game. Would you like to come with us? We're like, absolutely. And they said, no, this is our treat. We want to buy your tickets for you. And we're like, wow. And so they gave us Phillies tickets this past Friday, and it was a great time with them. But not only it was a great time, we actually saw Jesus. No, I'm serious. There was a guy going on the train dressed in a white robe with a brown sash, a wooden stick, long hair and a beard. It was amazing. I was like, we just saw Jesus. That was pretty cool. So that was our weekend. But they gave away those tickets to us. We could have paid for them. I offered. They said, no, we want to do this for you. And so when we think about that idea of giving away, that's what we want to talk about this morning as we begin our series, The Devoted Life. We want to talk about giving ourselves away. And as we look here in Romans chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. And before we read our passage today, what I want for us to understand is that verses 1 and 2 speak of a vertical devotion. We're speaking of a vertical devotion. What we're saying is that this is our relationship between us and God. This is a personal, individual relationship. And so that's our vertical devotion that we're going to see here in verses 1 and 2. In verses 3 to 8, we see a horizontal devotion. That is to each other. It's collective. It's a group devotion to one another. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn together to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. It'll also be on the screen for you. Beginning in verse 12, again it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy." And what Paul was writing here, he was saying, he's not talking about prediction of the future. He was saying here, proclaiming the word of God. And so I just wanted to bring it into its proper context. "And then in accordance with your faith, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So we see here that Paul is speaking of both a vertical and a horizontal devotion. And so what we want to do this morning is we want to look at these verses together, but then we want to go and speak of how we can make this practical in our own lives and talk about the vertical and the horizontal. In verses 1 and 2, Paul begins by using the phrase living sacrifice. What Paul is saying here is that we are not our own. We are not our own. Paul's appeal to the Christians in Rome and also to us is, look at what God has done. What God did by his grace and through his mercy, he sent his Son into the world to bring about salvation and redemption to those who believed in what he had done. And Paul is really, he's asking us, he's like, what is it that pleases God? What really is it that brings joy to God's heart? It's when we give ourselves away to him. Paul says in verse 1 is that what God is looking for is commitment. And they would have been familiar with sacrifice, because before Jesus, and if you know in the Old Testament, in the Bible, it spoke of animal sacrifice. And there were times when there was offering of sacrifices for when there was sin. And there was actually a sin offering that they would offer an animal to sacrifice it, and it was to atone for their sins. And it was in response to their guilt, their sin against God, and God's willingness to forgive them. So they had an idea of what this thing called sacrifice was about. But now Paul is saying, you be a living sacrifice. And through this, what Paul was saying, and it even goes back into the Old Testament, that even though the sacrifices were being done to God, God was looking for so much more. Samuel says to King Saul in 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, "Tell me," Samuel said, "does the Lord really want sacrifices and offerings?" "No, he doesn't want your sacrifices. He wants you to obey him." See, what God is looking for, God is looking for our obedience. Now, sacrifice is an aspect of obedience, but yet he wants all of us. He wants our heart. And as we've said here many times before, not the boom, 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 but he wants us all, our mind, our soul, our all. And through that, you and I cannot make up for a lack of disobedience by offering just stuff to God. We have to offer ourselves to him. You know, it's like saying, "Well, God, I'm sorry. Well, I'll give up this just for a little bit." Or, you know, I just, "How about this, God? How about we replace it with this?" No, he's saying, "I want all of you. I want all of you. I'm looking for your whole heart." And so in verse 1, we see that Paul is speaking of commitment to God. And in verse 2, Paul tells us how to maintain that. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." Now, I don't know about you, but I had younger siblings. Anyone with younger siblings? Now, I love my brother dearly, but he was such an instigator growing up. He would always just start trouble and then run to mom or dad. But the worst was when he would copy me. You ever have that? It's like, "Stop copying me, stop copying me, stop copying me. Mom, mom, dad." And you were waiting for them to get quiet so that when they said something that you could go back and you just wouldn't stop. So it would just get very frustrating and irritating. But have you ever noticed the world that we live in never says to us, "Stop copying me"? They say to us that if you want to have success, this is what you need to do. If you want to look a certain way and become popular, this is how you need to look. They never say, "Stop copying me." They say, "Be like me." And I fall into that trap and give in and become devoted to the things that aren't of God. The truth is, though, is that we have to live in this world, don't we? But Paul's not telling us to live in a bubble. Paul's telling us to change the way we think. Because Paul said what is good and pleasing to God. See, what's good and pleasing to God is when you and I say, "God, here I am, all of me, however you want to use me, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm for you. You have given it all. And so in return, this is what I give. It's not very much, but I know through you that you can do incredible things." And see, what is good and pleasing is once again a dedication of our lives to him. And from there, that's where you say, "Hey, how am I wired? What are my passions? What are my desires?" And you use that, as we've been teaching our students this summer, is that whatever you do, do it all for the glory, for the greatness of God, whatever it is. If it's being a stay-at-home mom, you do it for the glory of God. If it's working at a job that's stressful, you do it for the glory of God. If it's getting ready for school that's in about 2 weeks, you do it for the glory of God. And that's what he's saying to us. You know, Rich spoke about, and we saw the pictures of the celebration of baptism. And it was such an amazing time there just to hear individuals share that we are following Jesus. We're letting everyone know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And this week, I have been praying for U11 because I began to think about, wow, I remember in the Gospels when Jesus was baptized. And after Jesus was baptized, it was trial and testing of the evil one for 40 days to see if Jesus was going to remain devoted to his heavenly Father. And so we can sing this morning, "I stand with arms high and heart abandoned" today, but will you say that tomorrow? Will you say that Tuesday when the reality of life begins to sink and creep back in? Will you be able to say midweek that I'll stand devoted to my Lord? And that's where it is. We can do that here, but what does it look like between the Sundays? And so when I think about this idea of do not follow the pattern of this world, but be renewed by the changing the way you think, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles," remember, those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, this is not our home. This is a temporary residence. He says to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. So it's a fight. We have to fight those desires. We have to fight those temptations. We have to fight those things that are always biting for our heart. In the ancient Near East, when kingdoms would war against one another, when the leader or the king was killed in battle, the opposing kingdom would literally decapitate that leader, cut his head right off, because that was a symbol of saying, this is done. There is no more. And I think of when with David and Goliath, you know, many of us know the story, throws a stone, knocks over. But it goes on in that passage to talk about how he took his head off. This is done. The Philistines will no longer mock the God of Israel. They will serve the people of God. And so why do I share that? It's because when we are renewing our heart and our minds, this is going to be a lifelong process. There's going to be areas in our lives where we see victory, and yet God's saying, here's something else. But I'm going to do this with you because I will fight with you. I will fight for you. I will be faithful. I will stand by you. And through that, you and I can begin to say, I'm not going to imitate the world, but I'm going to imitate Christ. And I'm going to fight the good fight that is biting for my attention. Paul continues on in verse 3. And he talks about don't think. Don't think. What he's talking about here is keeping our hearts in check. That's what he's telling us, to keep our hearts in check. Now, when we keep our hearts in check, what we want to do is we want to begin together to trust God that he's going to work in and through us and in and through our situations. This is a faith that Paul is talking about. See, when you and I begin to keep our hearts in check, we begin to have an accurate picture of where our self-worth lies. As a follower of Jesus, our identity is in Christ. That's whose we are. We are his son or his daughter. And for some of us today, we may feel that we are God's gift to the people around us. And we may feel that we're better, more superior, intellectually, financially, whatever that may be. And there's some of us here today that may not even feel like people wouldn't even want to see that I'm worth their time of day. But when we begin to have that accurate picture of whose we are in Christ, we will not miss out on the true value we have in God's eyes. We begin to see how God sees us. That's how we keep our heart in check. We see how he sees us. We rely on how he says who we are. You know, for me, earlier this week, one of the things that really came to my heart and mind is that there are people in my life who I have a critical attitude about. And I was thinking to myself, no, that's not how I do it. And then just things came flooding into my mind. I'm like, oh, man. I really do have a critical attitude when it comes to individuals in my life. And it was there I had to say, God, wow, I confess this. And I need you to help me to change the way I think. Because I can't do this. And you know what happens 2 days later? Situation comes up where I had the opportunity to be critical. And yet, with God's help, I really believe in my heart of hearts, I chose not to. And you know, that was very freeing to not be all tense and thinking about 12 different situations, how this would play out, and if this happened or if they did that or whatever. But it was so freeing because I was able to keep my heart in check. I didn't think that I was better than that individual or those people. And so, here's what I want to say about it. Because what really brought things back into perspective is that God has never been critical of me. And when he wasn't critical of me, in fact, what God didn't do was he didn't think to not send his son to redeem me from eternal separation from him. And what the Bible tells us about that is that in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross so we would stop living for sin and start living for what is right. You are healed because of his wounds. Again, once our faith is placed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, we are a new creation. We have been given new life. Sin doesn't have a hold on us anymore. And yet, unfortunately, I believe that, we believe that, and we go back into that downward spiral every time. But Jesus has conquered the grave. Sin no longer rules us because Jesus is greater and Jesus is stronger. And so Paul finishes out here in verses 4 through 8 about the many in the one. And what he's saying here is talking about using our spiritual gifts. We began by saying this is your spiritual act of worship. So again, this is a spiritual gifting that God gives us because all our gifts and abilities come from Him. And it starts with grace. God's grace was extended to us, and so we extend grace. We become a blessing to others. Now, one of the things is that we don't all have the same spiritual gifting. And that's okay. That's actually a good thing. Could you imagine if we all had the same gifting? Like, that would kind of make it a little dull. I mean, we'd all be doing the same thing, but imagine if we began all doing different things how God has wired us. Even Paul alludes to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. He says, "I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that." Now, Nathan, if you put up those gifts that Paul spoke of here in Romans, those are all different kinds of gifting. Some of you may be more generous than others. Some of you may be able to lead better than others, and so on and so on. But here's what I want to say about these giftings that God gives us, is that we all can use those gifts to play a part in His kingdom. Not just for His kingdom, that's the big picture, but even in His local church. And that when you and I commit our giftings, our abilities, our passions, our desires to God, we say, "God, this is for you and not for my own personal success or my own accolades." And so we began this morning by saying that we are devoted to Christ because He is devoted to us. And we saw that we are not our own. We were bought with a price. It was God who loved us first and gave His Son up for us. And we said that you and I can keep our hearts in check by always remembering not to think highly than we ought to. And we also said that you and I have giftings and abilities that we can use for God and His church. But that all begins by giving ourselves away. And so when we look at the practical here, as we talk about the vertical and the horizontal, what we want to do is we want to, again, look at the individual and collective relationships that we have and how to live in that as we follow Christ. So in the vertical, or in our relationship with God, let's resist the urge. In the vertical, in our relationship with God, let's resist the urge. Again, Paul said, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now the question may be, resist the urge to do what? Well, the resist the urge to live old. Now, I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about our old self, our old nature, our old sinful self. Let's resist the urge to live old. I think of my two grandmothers. My grandmother on my mom's side has since passed several years ago, but my grandmother on my father's side still. But when both of them were, well, the one's still alive, but when my mom's mom was still alive, one of the things, as we know, as we get older, you know, physically, we age and we begin to slow down a little bit more, and I'm feeling it. And what I'm saying is that my mom's mom would always say, "No, I'm fine. I don't want to go anywhere." She actually lived with one of my aunts, and my aunt would always want to take her places and do things. "Nope, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't want to do anything." And she stayed in a house for the last several years of her life. And I thought about that, and I thought about my mom, my dad's mom. Now, my dad's mom, she came out one day at a family gathering and said, "My goal is to live to 100. We're like, "All right, Grandma, you go for it," you know? She's still got a bit to go, but you know what she's doing? She volunteers. She teaches a small group at her church. She works a little bit of part-time. And I'm thinking, wow, like, she has resisted. She knows that she's getting older, but she's still going to continue to live her life. She's not going to allow her slowing down or her age to stop her from doing the things that God wants for her to do. Now, when we think of that on the spiritual side of things, wow, we can continue to live old. Then we're really saying, God, really, you didn't redeem me from what you said you redeemed me from. You know, God, you didn't save me from my critical attitude, so I'm just going to keep on doing that because I think I know what's best. And yet what he's saying here is that you and I can resist the urge to live old. And in that, what we can do is begin to evaluate areas of our lives and ask the question, what needs to be put to rest? What are those things that I need it needs to be done? What are areas of our lives, if I began to change the way that I think, that I know that Christ has given me victory to overcome this, what needs to go? And so I know for me, here we are already today, my critical attitude, it's going to come up. I'm going to give in. But what I want to do is I want to begin in my vertical relationship with my Heavenly Father is to say I'm going to resist, and I'm going to fight, and I'm not going to imitate. See, when you and I when we resist the urge to live old, let's remember that you and I have been raised to life in Christ and that we can join God in a transformation of our hearts and our lives. The second this morning is that in the horizontal, in our relationship with others, let's embrace our differences. In the horizontal, in our relationship with others, let's embrace our differences. Once again, Paul said, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And see, that would be like me saying today, well, you know, because I have the opportunity to speak here, then I must be really good at a whole bunch of other stuff, and I'm going to be better than you at it. Or imagine me trying to go play the drums this morning. Yeah, I'm very rhythmically challenged when it comes to the drums. I can't do more than one thing at a time. But what I'm saying is, now, if I was to ask some individuals who said, yeah, I can play the drums, and well, that's what you do. I don't want to take that away. I want to embrace that. I don't want to be jealous of that. And that's what we're trying to say here. As Paul spoke of spiritual gifting, each of us has a part to play in the kingdom of God. And so when we think about the horizontal and embracing our differences, one of the things that we have to offer today is what's called a spiritual gifts assessment. What that does is it's a survey that asks you just simple questions on a couple of pages, and then it shows you the direction that you can go. It may be some of these things that you saw here, but there may be others. You may be wired administratively. You may be wired to, you love just having people over all the time. You're hospitable. Or you may be someone who extends mercy better than I would. And so that's what we're talking about. So we not only have that for adults today, but we also have that, we have a youth version as well. Students, if you remember, not too long ago, we did the way I'm wired. And so this is just a way that you can say, wow, how can I play a part here in the life of this local church? And that's what we want to do. We want to do this together. We don't just want to leave this up to the leaders here at Hope to do everything, or just the select 20%, but we want to be able to say, how can I use my gifts and abilities for God's kingdom? And you can do that today. And you can see me after the service and I can get that to you. And just take time this week to do that. So that's two things, right? Spiritual gifts assessment and memorizing Romans 12:1. A lot of work today, this week, but I know you all are good and you can do it. So what I want to say is that when we embrace our differences, what we do is that we see others first. And then from there, we become a blessing to other people as we work together for the kingdom of God. But again, this all began by Christ being devoted to us. He has asked us to give ourselves away. And so when we ask the question this morning about this idea of a devoted life, about giving ourselves away, when's the last time that you have taken time and say, God, here's my heart? Because there's many different things that we have going on in our lives. Maybe for some of you this morning, it's been, how long, oh Lord, do I have to wait? But rather saying, here's my heart. Or maybe for some of you, you do need to change the way that you think. And you come before God and you say, here's my heart. For others of you, it may be that, maybe that you don't see you the way God sees you. And this morning, you can come to him and you can say, here's my heart. Or maybe there's things in your life that you continue to fall into that trap, buying the lies. But today, you can come and say, God, here's my heart. It may even be as simple as saying, listen, I know that I can play a part here at Hope. Here's my heart. Remember, that's what we said as we began. God said, the sacrifice They're nice, but I'm looking for all of you. And as we begin our series this today, we can do so. We can say, God, here's my heart. Do with it with you what you want with it. And not only that, I want you to speak to me so that I know what it is that you want from me. I'm giving myself to you because of all that you've done for me. And you know, it may not be those things that we spoke of today. It may be good things going on in your life where you have been making big decisions, but you haven't brought God into it. And today you can say, here's my heart. It may be that students, as we've been taking time this summer to talk about making wise media choices, maybe it's today, here's my heart. Or those of you, other students, who you're getting ready to be seniors in high school, and your future is like right around the corner, God, here's my heart. It may be sin in your life that you continue to fall into that trap, God, here's my heart. And we shared now that when people would sin against God, they would make sacrifices and they would have an altar. And today, that's what we have here. Now, we don't have animals and we're not doing animals because once Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, that was once and for all. But all this is doing today is I'm going to invite you to come. And there's just little post-its and maybe there's things that you say, God, here's my heart. And you write it down and you put it in. You may even need to, once that's done, and you just sit and pray. But however that looks for you, for the next few moments, that's what we want to do. I'm doing it today. I'm going to write critical attitude and say, here's my heart. I know I've already done it, but and it's not to do it in front of you all to show off. It's to say, this is today. I want tomorrow to be critical free. I want to stand for you tomorrow, not just today. And so once we're done with that time of reflection and response, and then I'll come back and we'll close. So in these next few moments, this is between you and the Lord to say, here's my heart. So together this morning, it's really, now this is where the rubber meets the road. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you as we close this morning to remember that therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. May we go today being people who say that we will stand devoted to our Heavenly Father, the one who did give it all. May we not just say that today, but may we say that because Monday's coming, and Tuesday, and throughout the week. May you be people, and may we be people to hold on to Him as He holds on to us. He will fight for us. He is for us. God is with us because He was devoted to us first. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're so grateful, God, for your word. We thank you that even though this is a familiar passage, Lord, that we would not just hear the words and say, yeah, I know that, but Lord, we would really allow it to penetrate our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that we know that, God, it's only you who can help us to change the way that we think. God, it's only you that can show us how that we can not only have a deep and intimate relationship with you, because you have given us everything we need for a life devoted to you. Your word even tells us that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. Father, help us. Lord, we need you. We just don't need you today, but we need you tomorrow and throughout the week, so that when we come back together, Lord, we can celebrate what you have done, because, Lord, you have already claimed victory. Lord, I pray for these who have came and said today, here's my heart. Lord, I pray that they would stand for you and allow you to show them where the victory is. May we remember that we are yours. Thank you for the great sacrifice that you paid so that we can have life, eternal life, that we will celebrate you forever. Father, this is yours. And Lord, however you need to use it, Father, we are ready and we are willing to walk with you. Committed to you, our allegiance is to you. And all God's people said, amen.